مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship, has the right to be worshipped, is worshipped in truth, other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that Allah may accept from you your deeds, forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, for certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Insha'Allah ta'ala, continuing with our lessons here, and the thesis of the Shaykh Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, we have come to his statement, which is as translated, and whoever Allah punishes in his fire, he takes him out of it by his iman, or his faith. Then he enters him into his Jannah. So whoever does good equal to the weight of an atom will see it. And he will be taken out of the fire by the intercession of the Prophet, may the peace and mercy of Allah be upon him, whoever he intercedes for from among those who committed major sins and died without repenting from them, from his Ummah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, this is the statement of our Shaykh Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, may the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, and this is the discussion of today's class. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah, calling us to believe in that which is mentioned in the Quran and in the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, and whoever Allah punishes in the fire, He takes him out of it by his iman, then He enters him into Jannah. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah is making a fact that we have to take into consideration, because if we take this into consideration, insha'Allah ta'ala, it would allow us to lead a righteous, obedient, truthful, and sincere life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we said that these beliefs that our Shaykh Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah is mentioning in his thesis, they're just not beliefs that we hold in our hearts, or beliefs that we just utter or mimic on our tongues, or parrot on our tongues. But there are beliefs that encourage us, that urge us, and almost force us to live lives in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani is making the fact that there will be people who believe from among the Muslims who will enter into the hellfire because of the sins that they committed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, whenever He chooses, will take those believers out of the hellfire and put them into Jannah. Tell me which Muslim who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, who is satisfied with Allah as his Lord, with Islam as his religion, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his prophet and messenger, would be pleased to enter the hellfire after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved him from the path of kufr and brought him to the path of iman? It's very possible, if we don't change our lives after we left that kufr, to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have left the path of kufr, alhamdulillah, the path that was headed straight for the hellfire, and we tried, or we bore witness to the truth of Islam, and we say that we're treading down the path that leads to Jannah. However, that path that leads to Jannah might have a pit stop, or a pitfall, so to speak, into the hellfire before we go to Jannah. This is the belief of the Muslim, and this belief should encourage us to be obedient so we don't be among those people from among the believers who would have to taste some of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fire. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make us among the people of Jannah and to save us from the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, and the hadith is quite long, but just to bring out the point that bears witness to the statement of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَخْرَجَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ أَدْنَى أَدْنَى مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةِ خَرْدِلٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ فَأَخْرَجَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ مِنَ النَّارِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith that Allah will take out of the fire, will take out of the fire, will take out of the fire the one that has the smallest mustard seed of faith in his heart. So here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take people out of the hellfire because of the iman that they have in their heart. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated, will take them out of the fire, will take them out of the fire, will take them out of the fire, to show emphasis that yes, there are people who have a piece or a small seed of faith in their hearts, and they will be taken out of the fire because of that faith that they have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphatically is making the point that there will be people who will be taken out of the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another authentic hadith, which is also collected by Imam al-Bukhari, he's making the same point that those people, there will be a people because of their faith, because of their iman, that will be taken out of the hellfire, just as Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani is saying, and whoever Allah punishes in his fire, He takes him out of it by his iman, then He enters him into His Jannah. So whoever does good equal to the weight of an atom will see it. And this is the ayah and the verse of Surah Al-Zilzal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ وَمَنْ أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. الشيطان الرجيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يرى. And whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. And that good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to is the smallest good of the statement, La ilaha illallah. As Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani goes on saying, and he will be taken out of the fire by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this authentic hadith is making. That yes, they will be taken out of the fire because of their iman and because of the intercession of the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he says in this authentic hadith selected by Imam al-Bukhari, ثُمَّ أَعُودُ الرَّابِعَةِ فَأَحْمَدُهُ بِتِلْكَ ثُمَّ أُخِرُّ لَهُ سَاجِدًا فَيُقَالُ يَا مُحَمَّدِ ارْفَعْ رَأْسَكَ وَقُلْ يُسْمَعْ وَسَلْ تُعْطَى وَاشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ فَأَقُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِئْذَنْ لِي فِي مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَيَقُولُ وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَكِبْرِيَائِي وَعَظَمَتِي لَأُخْرِجَنْ مِنْهَا مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith said, and then I will say for the fourth time. And I was saying that this is also from the same hadith that I quoted in the beginning, which is a very long hadith, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will say the fourth time after I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that which He is befitting to be praised of, then I will fall down in prostration. Then it will be said, O Muhammad, raise your head up. Say, and it will be heard. Ask, and you will be given. Intercede, seek intercession, and you will intercede. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then I will say, and he's referring to the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, then I will say, O my Lord, give me permission to intercede for those people who say, La ilaha illallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, by my might, and my majesty, and my greatness, and my magnificence, I will indeed take the people out of the fire who say, La ilaha illallah. So here, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is showing us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take people out of the hellfire by the intercession of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the last prophet and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the faith that they have in their hearts of La ilaha illallah. And those people are, as Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani says, as he goes on and says, whoever he intercedes for from among those who committed major sins and died without repenting from them, from this ummah. And this is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic hadith, Shafa'ati لأهل الكبائر من أمتي. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my intercession is for the people of my ummah, referring to the Muslims who have committed major sins. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it clear who's his intercession for. This particular type of intercession, and it's for the people who have died from this ummah, having committed major sins without repenting from them. Because we know that the one who repents from his sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his sins, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in authentic hadith, أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. That the repenter from his sins is like the one without any sins. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear that the ones who have repented from their sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept their repentance. As for the ones who didn't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and died as sinners, but having the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having established the tawheed of La ilaha illallah in their hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow that statement, La ilaha illallah, to enter them into Jannah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه دخل الجنة. That whoever says لا إله إلا الله sincerely in his heart enters Jannah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith is showing that the people who will be among the happiest or the luckiest people on Yawm al-Qiyamah are the people who say La ilaha illallah. And that statement, La ilaha illallah, no matter what you do after it. And this isn't an encouragement for people to be sinners. But this is to show that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers or precedes His wrath. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِشِفَاعَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مِنْ قِبِلِ نَفْسِهِ مِنْ قِبَلِ نَفْسِهِ. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith said that the people who are the happiest on the day of resurrection are those who earn the intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are the ones who say La ilaha illallah sincerely in their hearts. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that his intercession is real and is truthful, and it will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah for those from among us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us among those who die as sinners, but those among us who die as sinners, if they die believing in La ilaha illallah, not ascribing any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will enter him into Jannah by the intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another authentic hadith, and we're just quoting these hadiths because there are many, many, many hadiths to show the intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make it clear in the people's minds that on that day the statement La ilaha illallah would be enough to help them enter into Jannah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Maybe if we questioned ourselves, how many times do we say La ilaha illallah today? Maybe we wouldn't see that it's much. Because maybe at times we don't look at the weight of that statement, La ilaha illallah. But that statement, La ilaha illallah, is a statement that will earn you Jannah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another authentic hadith, من كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. That whoever makes his last speech of this world the phrase لا إله إلا الله will enter Jannah. This phrase لا إله إلا الله is a weighty phrase. We should keep it on our tongues because it is the phrase, it is the belief that will get the people to the Jannah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this next authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari says, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شُفِعْتُ فَقُلْتُ يَا رَبِّي أَدَخِلِ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ خَرْدَلَةٌ فَيَدْخُلُونَ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when يوم القيامة or the day of resurrection comes, I will be given intercession. And then I will say, O my Lord, enter them into Jannah, the ones who have just a mustard seed of iman or faith in their hearts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them into Jannah. So this is the intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about it in authentic hadith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this intercession in His Quran in a general sense, though the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it in detail, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, verse number 3, إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على الأرض يدبر الأمر ما من شفيع إلا من بعد إذنه ذلكم الله ربكم فاعبدوه أفلا تذكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says, indeed your Lord is Allah. Indeed your Lord is Allah, the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then rose high above his throne. He controls all of the affairs. All of the affairs of the heavens and the earth is controlled by one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He controls the affairs. There is not anyone to intercede except after he gives his permission. No one can intercede except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've seen that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given his permission to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is Allah, your Lord. So worship him, will not you reflect. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that intercession is only given to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives his permission for them to have intercession. And in this next verse in Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse number 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains who are those people who will have intercession on that day. As he says, لَا يَمْلِكُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الشَّفَاعَةَ إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. That those people who worship other than him, referring to Allah, those people who worship other than him, they don't own or control intercession, except those people who bear witness to the truth. And the explainers of the Quran explain that those who bear witness to the truth refers to those who bear witness to La ilaha illallah, because that is what is meant by the truth. And Allah goes on to say, and then they know. And they are those who know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that no one has control over this intercession except for the people who bear witness to the truth, who bear witness to La ilaha illallah, and they know. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he has guided us to be among those people who say La ilaha illallah, to make us die as those people who say La ilaha illallah. And this issue of intercession that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those from humanity who he has chosen, who has given permission to, this intercession that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives to the people he has given permission to, and as we've mentioned in this verse, that they are the people of La ilaha illallah, that the people of other than this, the intercession won't benefit them. As we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in authentic hadith tells us that the shuhada, or the martyrs, or those people who were killed fighting to make the word La ilaha illallah uppermost in the land, that they will be able to intercede for 70 people from among their family members. However, if there is someone from among their family members who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given the permission to intercede for, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with them, then the intercession of the one who can intercede will not benefit those people, because they aren't the people of La ilaha illallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mudathir, verse number 48, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. And for those people, referring to the disbelieving people, the people who do not believe in La ilaha illallah, for those people, the intercession of the one who intercedes will not avail them anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear that the intercession isn't for everyone. That there are people that this intercession will be of no avail, and they are the people who die in disbelief and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who are not from the family of the those who say, La ilaha illallah. And this issue of intercession is a new issue in the sense that no prophet or messenger was given any intercession before our prophet, the last prophet and messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham ibn Abdi Munaf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he says in an authentic hadith collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, أُعْطِيتُ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُعْطِهُنَّ أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضَ مَسْجِدًا وَطُهُورًا فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ فَلْيُصَلِّي وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمُ وَلَمْ تَحِلِّ أَحَدٍ قَبْلِي وَأُعْطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَةَ وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَى قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَّةً. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith says, I have been given five things. And I think it was last week or the week before that I mentioned another narration that I have been given six things. This is the narration, and it's also authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he was given five things that wasn't given to any messenger or prophet that has come before him. They are that he has been given fear. He's been given fear to be put into the heart of his enemy for a month's journey. Meaning that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed by our Lord Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Lord of all the world, to have a fear put into the enemy's hearts for the Muslims, that if they knew that the Muslims could be at their land ready to fight in a month's time, then they would be fearful of the attack that the Muslims would launch on those people who disbelieve in Allah and His Messenger, in order to make the word La ilaha illallah uppermost in the land. So this fear that was put into the heart of the enemies was only given to the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second thing is that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the whole earth has been a place of worship and purification for me. So whatever man from my ummah finds himself at the time of a salat, then he should make salat. And walhamdulillah that the whole earth, that wherever we are on this earth and the time of salat comes, we have the earth as a means of purification and a place to make salat. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it incumbent upon all of us men above the age of puberty to make the five salah in the masjid. But if we find ourselves at the time of salat and we don't have a masjid near, then the whole earth has been made as a place for salat so that we can make salat wherever we are. And if we don't have water, then we could just use the dirt, clean dirt, to hit it one time and to wipe our hands and our face once, and that would be sufficient for us to make purification in order to make salat to our Lord Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, and it was permissible for me to take the war booty, and that wasn't permissible for any messenger before me. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given permission to fight the disbelievers and to take their wealth and to use that wealth for the benefit of the Muslims. This was for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not for anyone before him. And this is the point that we wanted to mention, and it's the fourth thing of this five things that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given, that no messenger before him was given, and that was, as he says, I have been given intercession. So intercession is new in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give it to any messenger or prophet before his last messenger and prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was that each prophet was sent especially to his people, but I was sent to all of humanity in general. And this is a hadith that we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it hadith on the tongues of the Muslims that's often quoted, so that we know the points of this hadith, because they're very important, among them the intercession. And to know that we should never despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so long as we believe in La ilaha illallah, because the belief in La ilaha illallah will earn us the intercession of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which would bring us out of the hellfire if we had to enter it, into Jannah. And this last point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning is the point that we have to make sure that the people understand, because this point is the point that we need when we're calling the people to Islam, when we're making Islam clear to the people that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't sent to the Arabs. And by that we don't mean that he wasn't made a prophet and messenger among the Arab people, because he was. But he wasn't sent to them, but he was sent to all of humanity. Though he lived amidst the Arabs, his mission, his message was for all of humanity. Just as he said in this hadith, and just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O humanity, I have been sent to all of you as the messenger of Allah. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't a prophet and a messenger to the Arabs, and he wasn't sent to them, but he was sent to all of humanity, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And I have not sent you as a messenger sent to their people. So if someone thinks that today, or yesterday, or 40 years ago, or 50 or more, that there is a man or a lady that was sent to their people because their people have a particular circumstance or a particular situation, therefore they need a particular messenger to them, that messenger is a liar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his last prophet and messenger to humanity, not to the Arabs, but to humanity. And there's not a group of people any place on the face of the earth, past, before the, after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm referring to, past before us, but after him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to the day of judgment, there is not a people, there is not a language that they might speak, there is not a circumstance that they might find themselves in, except that the message of Islam, the religion of Islam, the way of life of Islam, is sufficient for them. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم واتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day I have perfected for you your religion, your deen, and completed my favor to you, my blessing to you, and have chosen for you Islam as a way of life. So this point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a very important point, because as I was mentioning a few weeks ago, that there were a few people in America who claimed to be prophets. All of them were liars. All of them were liars. It doesn't make a difference how much good you bring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that judges what is good and what is bad. And the people who have La ilaha illallah in their heart, these are the people who have good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't a man and isn't whatever the people or the false prophets make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, as he has described himself in the Quran, or on the tongue of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be given intercession for those people from among the Muslim ummah who have the smallest mustard seed of iman in their hearts. And there are many ayats and many ahadith on the issue of intercession, And insha'Allah ta'ala, what we have mentioned should be sufficient. And this is the explanation of the statement of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, and whoever Allah punishes in his fire, he takes him out of it by his iman, by his faith, by his statement of La ilaha illallah, then he enters him into his Jannah. So whoever does good equal to the weight of an atom or a speck of dust will see that good. Means whoever does the good of bringing the Tawheed or La ilaha illallah on the Day of Judgment will see the reward of that by entering Jannah, even if he has to taste a little bit of the hellfire, as the statement La ilaha illallah will benefit the one who says it one day out of his time. And he will be taken out of the fire by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever he intercedes for from among those who committed major sins and died without repenting from them from among his ummah. If there are any questions on this, inshallah ta'ala we'll take them before going on to the next few hadith before the adhan. Nah. The brother is asking about a hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it had come to my mind, this hadith that the brother was mentioning. However, I couldn't quote the exact words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as the brother is hinting to the hadith, then I will motion to a paraphrase of the hadith, insha'Allah ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me if I fall short for preaching the message of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, insha'Allah, was stating in this hadith that if the seven worlds and the seven heavens were all put on one side of the scale, and La ilaha illallah was put on the other side of the scale, then La ilaha illallah will tip the scale, showing the weight of that statement, La ilaha illallah. Showing the weight of that statement, La ilaha illallah, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another authentic hadith, and I'm just paraphrasing this hadith, and it's authentic, and it's in Sahih al-Bukhari, and it's a long hadith, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about a man who died and who didn't have any good deeds to show for. He died and he didn't have any good deeds to show for. And just as he was about to be given his account as a loser for not having any good deeds, but that the side of the scale that had the bad deeds was full, and the side that had the good deeds was empty. They say, wait a minute, before you give him his account, take a look at this. And a card was pulled out, and that card had on it the statement, La ilaha illallah. That card was placed in the scales, and it tipped the scales, showing the weight of the statement, La ilaha illallah, that if you don't have any other good deed on your side, but the belief of La ilaha illallah sincerely and truthfully in your heart, then you will enter into Jannah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I think I should mention this hadith, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing the worst Muslim, the last Muslim to enter into Jannah. And the people will enter into paradise and one after the other, depending on how many good deeds an individual had. So the better people will enter Jannah before the worst people. And there will be people from among the believers who will enter into the hellfire. Some of them will remain in the hellfire longer than others, depending on the sins that they committed. But the worst, the one who will remain in the hellfire the longest, from among the believers. And the last one that would enter into Jannah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, to show the truthfulness of the statement that some Muslims have on their tongues, that the worst Muslim is better than the best kafir. That the worst, the biggest sinner from among the Muslims is better than the finest disbeliever. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ آخِرَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ دُخُولًا الْجَنَّةَ وَآخَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ خُرُوجًا مِنَ النَّارِ رَجُلٌ يَخْرُجُ هَبْوًا فَيَقُولُ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ الْجَنَّةُ مَلْآ فَيَقُولُ لَهُ ذَلِكَ ثَلَاثُ مَرَّاتٍ فَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ يَعِيدُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةُ مَلْآ فيقول إن لك مثل الدنيا عشر مرار. And this hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in it, indeed the last person from among the people who will enter into Jannah, who is the last person who would be taken out of the hellfire, crawling up out of the hellfire, it will be said to him by his Lord, enter into Jannah. That Muslim, that criminal, disobedient, worst Muslim from all of the Muslims from the time of Adam to the Day of Judgment, would say, Jannah is full. Thinking that because he was so bad, and that so many people went to Jannah, and that Jannah was full, it didn't have any room, when his Lord told him, enter into Jannah, he said, Jannah is full. His Lord said, enter into Jannah. He said, Jannah is full. His Lord said, enter into Jannah. He said, Jannah is full. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have the likes in Jannah 10 times this world. This is for the worst Muslim from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the Day of Judgment. That what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-kareem, the generous, will reward that person for just having that smallest bit of faith in his heart, will reward him 10 times the like of what we witness on this earth today and what may be witnessed on this earth before the Day of Judgment. Because we see that technology and advancement is coming year after year after year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows best where man would reach with this technology, that on the Day of Judgment, the worst among us would be rewarded with the likes of 10 of this. How much more would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward those people who are obedient to Him? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who believe la ilaha illallah in their hearts, among those people who say la ilaha illallah on their tongues, among those people who work in accordance to the belief of La ilaha illallah. And lastly, we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make us among those people who die saying La ilaha illallah. Thinking of the last day, I wanted to mention a few hadiths from a book that says the things that would benefit a Muslim after his death. The things that would benefit a Muslim after his death. And we've mentioned already one of them, and it's the statement of La ilaha illallah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of that person who had no good whatsoever to put forth except the card that was pulled out that had La ilaha illallah on it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in some other authentic hadith show us of some other things that could benefit us after our death. And of course we have to take advantage while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with our lives and blessed us with good health and provisions, that while we have this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us now, that we should take advantage of doing those things that could benefit us after our death. And among them, is that which is mentioned in this authentic hadith by the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, collected by Imam Ibn Majah, and it goes as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ says, خَيْرُ مَا يُحْلِفُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ خَيْرُ مَا يُخْلِفُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ ثَلَاثٌ وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ وَصَدَقَةٌ تَجْرِي يَبْلُغُهُ أَجْرُهَا وَعِلْمٌ يُعْمَلُ بِهِ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. The Messenger of Allah says, the best thing that a man could leave behind him after he dies is three things: a righteous child who would make dua or supplication for him. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indirectly is showing us the importance of raising our children on the religion of Islam, raising our children as righteous, truthful, obedient Muslims. Because if we raise our children like this, after our death, the dua or the supplication of our children could benefit us. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this authentic hadith. So brothers and sisters, we shouldn't neglect our children, saying that that's them. On Yawm al-Qiyam, I'm going to have to stand by myself, just like my son is going to have to stand by himself, just like my daughter is going to stand for themselves. So I'm going to just take care of myself. No one's saying don't take care of yourself, because everyone will stand by himself on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that there is something that could benefit us after our death, and that is the supplication of our children. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the second thing says, a charity that a person leaves behind, that the people will benefit from it, would help him even after his death. So a person could leave something in charity that whatever, how much ever knowledge he has of this deen, but whatever he teaches, if it's sufficient for him to teach a person and he dies before that person dies and that person works by the knowledge that he taught him, then that would be benefiting him after his life. For that knowledge that the people work by after your death, because you taught them that, inshallah ta'ala, that would benefit you after your death. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are three things, or there's nothing better than these three things that a person can leave behind after his death: a righteous child to make supplication for him, a charity that will remain behind after him, and knowledge that will be worked by after his death. And another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ مِمَّا يَلْحَقُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنْ عَمِلِهِ وَحَسَنَاتِهِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ عِلْمًا عَلَّمَهُ وَنَشَرَهُ أَوْ وَلَدًا صَالِحًا تَرَكَهُ أَوْ مُصْحَفًا وَرَّثَهُ أَوْ مَسْجِدًا بَنَاهُ أَوْ بَيْتًا بَنَاهُ لِابْنِ السَّبِيلِ أَوْ نَهْرًا أَجْرَاهُ أَوْ صَدَقَةً أَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ مَالِهِ فِي صِحَّتِهِ وَحَيَاتِهِ تَلْحَقُهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِهِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is always calling us to the straight path, calling us to do the things that would lead us to Jannah, is showing us some things that if we did them, they would benefit us even after we die. After you die, there's no chance to do any more good. It's over with, except for these exceptions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning. We should be mindful, because all of us know how short we fall when it comes to worshiping and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us could afford not to have something behind us, left behind us after our death, benefiting us, knowing how sinful we are now. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith says that there is something from the deeds and the good deeds that a Muslim can leave behind him, or a believer can leave behind him after his death, that will reach him later on. They are knowledge that he taught the people and knowledge that he spread, or a righteous child that he left behind after him, or a Quran, a Mushaf, that he left behind for someone to inherit it after him. So let's not think that buying something as cheap as a Mushaf for $5 or $12 or whatever the price is of the Mushaf, that we can buy it as a gift, or we can leave the Mushaf that we own. And Mushaf is a word that is used for the actual Quran to be in the cover, in the case, on the pages. As we know, the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a characteristic of him. So the Muslim used the word Mushaf to refer to the Quran when it's written down and compiled like this. So to leave it behind for the people to read it after your death, the reward of that will eventually catch up with you even after your death. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, or build a masjid, that whoever builds a masjid, that the reward of that, the reward of the people worshipping Allah after him, that reward will eventually catch up with him in the hereafter. And also the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, says, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah, Allah will build a masjid, or excuse me, Allah will build a house for him in Jannah. So building a masjid is a way to help you even after your death, or to build a house for the wayfarer, for I think that's what they call it, the wayfarer, or the person, or the traveler, the person who doesn't have a home. Maybe he's traveling from land to land or place to place, and when he gets to a particular place, he doesn't have a home. I don't know if there are Muslims who build it, these types of homes in America, but when I was overseas in Arabia, many of the rich people would build an apartment building and say, this apartment building is for whoever comes through not having the money to have a place, that this place is for them. So maybe they build an apartment building with 12 that can hold 12 families, and whoever comes by lives in that apartment building for free. They would just have to take care of the maintenance, and that the person built that house for that purpose. So every time someone lives in that place, he gets the reward, even after his death. So this is an encouragement for the wealthy among us, and whoever has the ability to make a house or an apartment building or what have you, a place for those among the Muslims who don't have the money, or those who are just passing through to have a place to live, that every time someone lives in that place, that the reward goes to you. And this we see, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inshallah make this common among us, that people do things not to seek the reward. At first, if we were to hear a hadith like this, and I remember the first time I heard of it, Ya Alhamdulillah, I thought, what man in his right mind would build a house for somebody else to live in? Because in America, we've been raised, we've been taught to think that everything you do, you gotta get a dollar for it. You gotta get some reward for it. You gotta get some thanks for it. But what do? That we only wait for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone to be given to us. Like building a house solely for the purpose of other people to benefit from. And that we don't want any thanks or any reward or any money from the people, but that we just want to wait for our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us on the Day of Judgment. So to build a house for the wayfarer is to do a deed, a good deed that would benefit you after your death. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or to have a flowing river or a stream that the people and the animals could benefit from. And maybe someone who has the land, this much land that he has a river on, that he could allow the people to benefit from the water of that river, not charging them any price, only seeking to have the reward of that catch up with him on the Day of Judgment, even after his death. Or, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some type of charity that he has given from his wealth while he was in good health and while he was living. These things, all of these things, will catch up to the person even after his death. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and these two authentic hadith are showing us some things that could benefit us after our death. Showing us some things that could benefit us after our death. And believe me, we will need some things to benefit us after our death, as we know in the authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, collected by Imam al-Bukhari and other than him, and this is the translation. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "There is not one from among you, except that Allah will speak to him on the Day of Judgment. There will be no interpreter or translator between you and Allah." That's for every single one of us. We're going to have to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone, no translator, no interpreter between us, just you and your Lord. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, so he will look to the right of himself when he's at that one-on-one. He looks to the right of himself, and all he will see are the deeds that he did. And then he will look to the left of himself, and all he could see is the deeds that he did. And then he will look right in front of him, and all he will see is the hellfire right in front of his feet. So fear the hellfire, even if it's giving just a piece of deed and charity, or just saying a good word. All of us are going to have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and we don't see anything that could help us on that day except that the deeds that we did. Even if it was just a good word or a piece of deed and charity, anything that we do as good, even if it's the weight of an atom, whoever does that good will be rewarded for that good. And these are some good deeds that we can do while we're in good health and we're living that will benefit us after our death. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who listen to what it says and follow the best of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us see the truth as being the truth and bless us with following it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us see falsehood as falsehood and to bless us with staying away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, to show His mercy on us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in iman, to increase us in taqwa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us righteous and obedient, and our children and all of our descendants obedient. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in wealth, to increase us in knowledge, to increase us in general well-being. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us shining light and guides for the disbelieving people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the halal sufficient for us, so that we don't have to dip into the haram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer this dua and all of our dua. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Walhamdulillah. If there was anything good that was said today, then the success was from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if there was anything that was incorrect or wrong, then it's from me. And I take the blame, and I seek Allah's forgiveness.